Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I'm just going to take the next few minutes. Just really want to share a devotional, and then really we want to get in the altar, because that's why we're here, to seek the Lord. And so I want to title this devotional, Don't Sweat It. Turn to your neighbor and say, Don't Sweat It. Don't Sweat It. You know, we've been in an awesome series, Stand Firm, and the book of Hebrews, and we've been talking the past couple of weeks about Hebrews 11, one of my favorite passages of scripture, because it's the hall of faith, and we're talking about all these mighty men and women in the Bible who stood strong, who had faith and trusted the Lord. And, you know, the desire of God is that we would be strong in the Lord like them, that we would be heroes of the faith, that we would stand through the test of time, trusting God no matter what we're walking through. And that's God's heart. But you know what? The enemy hates that. And he's constantly trying to combat your faith. He's constantly trying to fight you and cause you to doubt. And you know, one of the ways, his biggest tactic to fight faith in our lives is worry. It's worry. He tries to sneak in and cause you to doubt him. He tries you to sneak in and cause you to waver in what you believe. And you know, when you look at worry in the Greek, I found this very interesting. I like to study the Greek. And when you look at worry in the Greek, it's the word merimono. And it means double-minded. Means double-minded. So doubt and worry are so similar. And the enemy loves when we worry, because it's hard for us to really believe God. And when we worry, we start trying to figure out things on our own. We start trying to come up with situations and scenarios and solve problems. And we're like, okay, what if I do this? And what if I do that? Rather than just standing firm and trusting God, we're like, okay, I'm gonna go over here and I'm gonna do this. And it's just, it's zigzagging in life. And really, you get nowhere with worry. And it takes you down the road of what ifs. You think of all these scenarios in your mind, and usually they're the worst case scenarios. Is anyone in here, you're like worst case scenario person? I'm raising my hand because the Lord is helping me with this. I feel like I'm speaking to myself tonight, but I just got married, friends, to my husband, Michael, over here. And the Lord is really highlighting this in my life, in my issue with worry. We pulled into our driveway one night, and there was a car parked near our house. It's like 10 o'clock at night. And the car is like, the lights on the car are flickering. They're going on and off, on and off. And then the car's like inching forward, then stopping, then inching forward. And I go, honey, that seems really suspicious. And he's like, oh, it's okay. And I'm like, no. Let's not back up into the garage. And so I'm like, I'm on high alert, friends. I'm on high alert. And then I'm like, we need to call the police. You know, just a car. It merits a phone call to the police. And then I'm like, we need to drive around the neighborhood. And he's like, okay. And I asked him, I said, if we weren't married, would you be doing this? And he said, no. But he's glad he married me. So then we do that. And then the police come and they're scouting out the neighborhood. We love the police. And then I'm like, okay, I think we can go into the garage. And so I'm like, you know what? But before we go in, I need you to grab something. I'm not going into the house without you grabbing something. So what we have in the garage, he's a golfer. So he grabs a golf club. I grab a golf club. Because I'm like, if there's a suspicious car, who knows? Maybe they robbed our house. You know, that's really logical. But, you know, I'm thinking that. So we start going into the house. And as we go through every room, I tell him before he goes into every room, I'm like, stop. Don't go. I'm like, are you okay? And I keep asking him, and he goes room by room, and praise the Lord, there was nothing in our house. Praise God. Can someone give him praise? And I'm so thankful for a husband that listens to me. But you know what? I went through the worst case scenario. I look back, and I'm like, that was silly. Really? This is confession time. I should have prayed. Hello? But that's what we do so easily with worry, right? We're like, how did I even get here? Why is my thinking even this way? We get unstable in our thinking, and it's a funny story, but it's so true. We can do that so easily, and it sabotages our faith. I want to look at Philippians 4, 6 through 7 real quick. And Paul says this about worry. He says, do not be anxious about anything, But in every single situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And I just want to pull a couple simple truths out of this that the Apostle Paul writes down. And the first one is, do not worry about anything. So is there ever a time that as believers we should worry? No. He doesn't say you can worry when it's a really big situation. You can worry if this happens. No, he says, do not worry about anything. And anything in the Greek means anything. It was a joke, but anything, it means anything. It means there's no reason to worry. The Apostle Paul isn't leaving any room for us. He's saying worry is not an option for the believer. It should never be something that we fall onto. We should always trust the Lord. There's never a time in our life where we can have an excuse to worry. And you're like, okay, if we can't worry, then what do I do? Because it's just so easy to slip into that trap. And I love that that God doesn't just tell us, don't do this and command us not to do something, but he gives us a remedy for how to overcome worry. And it's so simple for us. And the Apostle Paul continues and he says, pray about everything. So don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition. Okay, so the Apostle Paul is saying pray, but he doesn't just say a general statement of praying. He actually takes it deeper and he says, I want you to petition God. I want you to come and approach God. Well, what does petition mean? I think if you went before a government official, you went up before a king, to petition would be to lay out your requests. To say, I have a need and I'm bringing it before you because I know I can't do something about it, but I know you can. And when we petition God, we're actually giving him our needs. He's inviting us to give him our needs. Is it just certain needs? No, it's actually all needs. And I think sometimes we worry because we say, God, he doesn't want to worry about this. He doesn't want to take care of this. This seems so insignificant to God. Maybe some of you walked in here and you're like, is he really concerned about my situation? He has more things to worry about than that. No, God wants you to petition him. He wants you to give him every single need you have. And I think the enemy likes to lie to us and say, God doesn't care about you. God cares about so-and-so, but he doesn't care about you for various reasons. Maybe because of your background. Maybe because you feel like you got yourself into the mess. But the truth of the matter is, God cares so much about you. He cares so much about you. Listen to this in Matthew 6. Jesus says this. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Isn't that amazing that God cares about birds? And what Jesus is saying is, if I care about birds, which seem insignificant, how much more do I care about you? If I take care of the needs of birds, don't you think I'm gonna take care of your needs? Don't you think I'm gonna take care of your most basic need? Don't you think I'm gonna listen to your prayers when you come and approach me? I'm gonna take note of them. So the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, stop, don't worry, but petition. Come to me, approach God, no matter what your need is. It's amazing to me that God never gets tired of us approaching him. He never runs out of answers. He never runs out of solutions, that we are continually to petition him, to fight worry. We're supposed to petition him. And then secondly, we're supposed to offer up thanksgiving. We're supposed to give him praise. And that's why at the beginning of the service, we come in and we worship. We thank the Lord because it's not just prayer that's important, but thanksgiving is equally as important, giving him praise. The Bible says in Psalms, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name. That's what we just did. We just magnified the Lord. Yes, amen. Because when we magnify the Lord, it puts our problem into perspective. We might come in, you might have come in tonight worried and overwhelmed, but as the worship team, man, the presence of God was here as they began to sing. Man, you began to lift up your hands. You began to exalt the Lord. You began to remind yourself of the promises of God. What did it do? It made your problem small, and it reminded you of how big God was. how big he is, that he is faithful, that he is good, that he never runs out of power. It put things in the right perspective. That's what praise does, and that's why the Apostle Paul reminds us of that. You know, when we couple those things together, you know what happens? We go from worry to actually peace. We experience the peace of God. The Apostle Paul closes this passage with, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. It doesn't just cover part of you, because how many of you know you have emotions and you have logic? You actually need the peace of God in both areas. You need God to cover, man, I can't figure this out. And you need God's peace in your heart. And it's a peace that transcends all understanding. Your circumstance might not change, but your God is still faithful. Man, you might look on the external and you're like, man, there's a storm still raging around me. But God gives you a supernatural peace because you're no longer carrying the burden. You actually have given it to him. It's the divine exchange. You give God your problem, and guess what? He gives you his peace. He gives you his peace. And tonight, I believe there's people in here. This is just a really simple word, but I felt like the Lord wanted it for us. Sometimes we just need a reminder of the basic things, because that's what the enemy can trip us up on, the basic things. And some of you have come in here and you're heavy laden, you're worried, you're weighed down by the cares of life. Maybe it's a family situation, maybe a financial situation, maybe your marriage, maybe your parenting, and you're like, I just don't know what to do. God is saying, hand it over to me. He's saying, give me your need. Stop carrying that. Stop being weighed down by worry. You don't have to live that way. But come and petition me. Begin to thank me. Begin to remind yourself of how big I am, how mighty I am. Begin to recount his goodness in your life. Fill your heart with praise. And then watch as the peace of God, as it floods your heart and your mind. I'm going to close with this verse, and I'm going to invite us into the altar. This says, this is Matthew 11, 28, and it says, come to me. This is Jesus. All you who are weary and burdened down by the cares of this world, and I will give you rest. But what do we have to do? We have to come to him. We have to come to him. We have to say, God, I'm not going to hold this anymore. I'm not going to try to take it in my own hands. But God, I'm actually going to give it to you. And as I give it to you, as you give God your problems, you want peace. Some of you want peace, but you're holding on to worry. And God's saying, hey, as you give me your problem, that's, you're going to make room in your life for my peace. But right now you don't have any room because you're holding on to everything. But you give me everything and I'll give you my peace.